Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for today's message is the Gospel reading from St. Luke, the 17th chapter. One of the most feared and dreaded diseases in ancient Palestine was leprosy. It was feared and dreaded because it maimed and disfigured people. It crippled hands and feet, caused paralysis and blindness and eventual death, and there was no cure. In fact, there was no cure for leprosy until the early 1980s when medical researchers finally discovered a cocktail of drugs, a multiple drug treatment that finally actually killed the leprosy bacterium and people were actually cured. Yet there was another reason that leprosy was so feared in ancient Palestine. It tore families apart. Once a husband or a wife or a son or a daughter were discovered to have the disease, that person could no longer live with his family. No more hugs and kisses, no more meals together, no more waking up to the faces of your loved ones. Lepers were forced to join colonies. And the law was this in ancient Palestine. If a leper saw a healthy person coming near him, he was to keep his distance and shout as loud as possible, "Unclean, unclean." Furthermore, leprosy also made you religiously unclean, which meant that lepers could no longer enter the temple. They could no longer then hear the word of God and make sacrifices for their sins. So we have in our text 10 lepers, 9 Jews and a Samaritan thrown together by their common ailment. When they saw Jesus, they stood at a distance. They knew the law. They didn't want Jesus to come near to them. But also perhaps because in their deformity, they didn't want Jesus to even look at them. Yet in their mercy, they didn't cry out, "Unclean, unclean." They cried out, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." Jesus was their only hope. Normally, people are afraid of lepers for all the reasons that I've mentioned. They were dangerous to touch, hideous to look at, but not Jesus. Jesus is afraid to love people in their misery. He isn't afraid to help them when it might hurt himself. He tells the men to go show themselves to the priests. That's what a leper was to do in ancient Palestine. The priests were kind of like dermatologists in that day. They could examine a person and determine if he was clean or unclean, if he had leprosy or not. But if you notice, the men didn't stand around waiting for the words of Jesus to come true. He didn't heal them right away. He healed them while they were on their way. They trusted Jesus and did as he said. Now that's important to remember that Jesus simply doesn't heal. Jesus restores. He doesn't just take the illness or disease away. These men knew that they were healed because they could see that their hands were normal. Their feet were normal. They could look at each other's faces and see that they were not just healed but restored. Jesus restores what's been damaged by disease. The lame don't need months of physical therapy. When Jesus says walk, they walk. The blind see. They don't need to be taught what colors are and who their loved ones are. They know. They see. The mute speak, and they speak plain words. And so these men, more than healed, they're restored. Their flesh restored. Leprosy is a lot like sin. Sin infects us all. It's a lethal condition, for the wages of sin is death. Sin separates us from God. That's why sin kills. You see, God is life, and to be separated from God is to die. And there's no cure for leprosy but this cocktail of drugs, and there's no cure for sin but Jesus. God placed all of your sins on Jesus, on his body on the cross, and the power of sin died with Jesus. His blood washes away the sin that infects the entire world. And in his death and resurrection, Jesus restored man's relationship with God. He reconciled God and man. Like healed lepers restored to their families, Jesus has restored your life with God. And that's why you live. Because you once again have life with God. All who repent and believe in Jesus have this life with God now and forever. You're restored to God's family. And yet there was just one man, that Samaritan, who returned once he discovered he was healed, returned to Jesus to give him thanks. I'm sure Jesus wasn't sitting in the same place he was when they left. So he had to look for Jesus. But when he found him, he used that loud voice that he had been using to tell people to stay away to give thanks to God. He fell at Jesus' feet and gave thanks to Jesus for his healing. And so we are gathered here today also to give thanks. To give thanks to Jesus for all that he's done for us. None of us deserves earthly healing, much less do we deserve spiritual healing and life with God. But God in his grace has given us Jesus on the cross to save us from our sins. So really there's nothing more important to do on the Lord's Day than to gather and give thanks to the Lord for all that he's done for us in his grace. Yet our thanksgiving pales in comparison to the multitude and manifold blessings that God gives each Lord's Day in the divine service. Especially the gift of faith that trusts in Jesus for the forgiveness of sins. You see, in his faith in Jesus, the leper was given more than healing from his disease. He was given healing from sin. Why do I say this? Well, while many of our English translations read, "Rise and go your way, your faith has made you well." The text literally says, "Rise and go your way, your faith has saved you." Your faith has saved you. We give thanks to God for saving faith. You know, those 10 lepers knew more than anyone how a disease could fill people with fear and dread. How a disease could separate a person from his loved one. How a disease could ruin your life. You can only imagine the horror of people looking upon a leper and looking at a face with no nose and no lips. Or to look at your own hands and see nothing but bone because the nerves, the skin, and the muscle had been eaten away by leprosy. So thank God none of us have leprosy. But all of us have sin. And the disease of sin causes us to fear God and to run from him because of his righteous judgment against sin. Sin causes us to fear people who are different from us, have a different skin color, or come from a different culture, or speak a different language, or live at a different income level. And sin causes us to fear doing the right thing. Fear gives us the improper fear of God, but fear also causes us to fear people more than we fear God. To fear speaking out for the unpopular kid in school for fear that will become unpopular. The fear of doing the right and godly thing because of what people might think or say about us. The fear of making a stand for God and his word. Because we might end up standing alone. Or the fear of losing your job or whatever is important to you because you don't want people to know that you're a Christian. Well, the thing about leprosy, you can see it. It's hard to ignore. You know you're afflicted with it. You know how terrible it is. And you want the cure. More than anything, you want to be cured. But with this disease called sin, we often act like we don't have it. Or if we do have it, well, it's not so bad, and other people are worse off than I am. Or that God isn't going to damn us to hell because we sin. He's wrong about that. But we're only deceiving ourselves. And so to remove our delusions, to show us that indeed we are sinners who need a Savior, God sometimes helps us to feel our sin, to know that we are separated from Him by our sin. He may cause sickness to fall upon us or the threat of death. If we sin against our spouse, He may be incredibly angry with us. Or if we do something to hurt our children, they may be angry with us. Or He just lets the problems of life overwhelm us. And like the lepers, it drives us to cry out for the one person who can give us mercy. Lord, Master, have mercy upon us. And that's when we find that Jesus isn't like us. He hasn't come to condemn us. He's come to save us. He isn't afraid of the ways of this world. Like a mom who has no fear, she rushes into a burning house to rescue her children. Jesus wasn't afraid to leave His dwelling place of glory and majesty and come into this world to rescue us. He wasn't afraid of even our most contagious diseases. He wasn't afraid to associate with undesirable people. He wasn't afraid about what people would think or say about Him. He came to seek and to save the lost. He came to touch diseased bodies. He came to listen to our laments. He came to bear our sins, as horrific and painful as that might be. And Jesus wasn't afraid to do the right thing, to be obedient to His Father, even if it meant that everyone would hate Him, abandon Him, and call for His death on the cross. And so as Jesus' disciples ran away and hid for fear, Jesus made that lonely walk down the path of suffering and death to Mount Calvary, where He died for the sin of the world. Jesus wasn't afraid to die for you because He loves you more than His own life. That same love is the cure for sin. As Christ's love moved Him to die for you and for the entire world, to take away your sins, to take away your fear of judgment before God, take away your fear of people who are different from you, your fear of standing up for the underdog, your fear of living your life for God in this world of sin. Because Christ is in you and you are in Christ, His love for the leper, His love for the enemy, His love for the undesirable, His love for God and His Word, that same love dwells in you. That same kind of love that does what pleases God despite the threat of persecution and death, that same love is in you. That love that conquered sin and death is in you. And by God's grace, Jesus lives in you, and He works His love through you. You are His healed people. Healed from fear, healed from sin, given love and joy. And so we give thanks every day because God's grace in Christ heals our diseases, takes away our sins, conquers our fears, and gives us eternal life, and also gives us love, so that we give Jesus to others. During His earthly ministry, you should know, though, that Jesus didn't heal all lepers. He didn't restore the sight of every blind person. He didn't raise all the dead. God never promises in Scripture that you'll be healed of your every ailment and disease. He doesn't promise that you will have a peaceful and comfortable life. Even those 10 lepers who were healed by Jesus eventually died of disease or of old age or of something else. So when it comes to these earthly matters, these earthly gifts and blessings, we pray, "Thy will be done," and in faith we trust that God will do what He deems best, because He knows what is best. But when it comes to the forgiveness of sins, when it comes to spiritual healing, we don't have to pray, "Thy will be done," because that is God's will. He desires that you repent and turn from your sin and turn to Him for the forgiveness of sins and everlasting life. So you may have sickness and tribulation now, and God may or may not take it away according to His will, but He promises that for all who believe in Jesus, your faith has saved you. You are assured with those words that in the resurrection, you will stand with Jesus. And you will live a life where there is no more disease, no more suffering, no more death. And because your sins are forgiven, on that day you will have no reason to fear God. Because God is on your side. And because God is on your side, you have no reason to fear man. For the worst thing this world can do to you is to take your life from you. But your life is hidden with God in Christ Jesus. And as He has risen from the dead, so you too will rise from the dead to know everlasting life with the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. In the blessed name of Jesus, Amen.